Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Phillips versus Beaver.
May it please the court, Mr. Daniel Lemko will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Please, court. Your Honor, the question before the court today is, does the trial court have jurisdiction under the UCCJA and PKPA to modify the powers of primary possession of the child, the right to designate the residence of the child, and the right to receive and give receipt for child support within the confines of a joint managing conservatorship when the home state of the child is other than Texas? For practical purposes, Your Honors, I'll refer to a joint managing conservatorship as a JMC and a managing conservatorship, possessory conservatorship, as an MCPC. If such a modification constitutes a custody determination, as that term is defined at 152.0023 of the Texas Family Code, then the trial court is without jurisdiction. If not, then it has jurisdiction. Therefore, the real question before the court is what constitutes custody within the meanings of a JMC. In Texas, we do not usually use the term, quote, custody. We appoint conservators, either possessory, managing, or joint. I would suggest that custody is not just a title, but rather that the title is defined by the powers that support it. Just as the governor holds the title, the meaning of that office is defined by his constitutional powers. For example, a JMC can be structured by dividing and awarding the rights and powers so that it is nothing more than an MCPC relationship. The title becomes nothing more than form over function.
Okay, we have a JMC here.
Yes, Your Honor, we do.
Now, I think it's clear that under 155.003, had one of the parties wanted to go to court and change the JMC to an SMC, that jurisdiction would lie in Colorado.
Yes.
And the statute concerns, says, provides a specific exception that if the modification is to change the conservatorship, the jurisdiction will change, but that is not what they sought to do here. The parties didn't seek to change the JMC status, did they?
That is the you pinpointed the question, Your Honor. Yes, they did. They tried to change form over function. They did not try to change the name JMC to an MCPC relationship. That they did not do. But instead, they tried to gut the powers of the JMC and effectively change custody.
All right, you will agree, however, that if the only thing that was sought to be changed were possessory rights with regard to the child, that would fall within the continuing jurisdiction of the court.
By possessory, if we're talking only about visitation, yes.
Okay, when the statute uses the word possession,
correct.
It doesn't define that to mean visitation. You're defining it to mean that.
Yes.
Okay, but so you don't have any case law and you don't have any statutory language that equates possession with visitation, do you?
Yes.
You do?
I believe so. I believe that both Hostler versus Hostler and Lethold versus Platts addressed that, as does Ramsey versus Ramsey. I believe Ramsey versus Ramsey at 707 Southwest 2nd, 724, it's a Beaumont Court, 1986, addresses the concept of possession and what is meant by possession. And I think it equates it in form to visitation.
So what you're saying is that under a JMC status. You can never have continuing jurisdiction over a proceeding where the child's domicile will change from one parent to the other, because if it changes from one parent to another, automatically, ipso facto, that means that it's outside of the realm of mere possession of the child and goes to the conservatorship of the child.
Let me restate that to make sure I understand your question, because I'm a little nervous up here. This is a good spot. You're saying that JMC, the UCCJ would not apply in a JMC if they were trying to seek change of the power to designate the domicile. Did I catch that correct?
I think so, but I tell you what, let me restate.
Okay.
Because here's what we have. It's clear that if one of the parties went in and tried to change the JMC status to an SMC status, that would not be within the continuing jurisdiction of the Texas court.
I agree.
Okay. And so what we have then is to decide whether or not this is a change from JMC to SMC, or merely the change of possession under the confines of the current JMC status. Okay? And the point I'm trying to make, and I guess the question I'm trying to ask, is under your interpretation of what possession of the child means under JMC, is if the change in possession rights or the change in access to the child is to change the domicile from one JMC parent to the other JMC parent, you're saying that that is not a change in possession that would invoke the continuing jurisdiction of the court. Instead, you're saying that that is a change from JMC status to SMC status. Is that correct?
Yes, with this caveat. The vocabulary with which you stated it, I'm uncomfortable with. If I restated my position in other vocabulary, under a JMC, there is a primary right of possession, which is one of the powers the court can assess and grant. Also, they can grant to one or both parties the right to designate the residence of the child. Traditionally, that is the same person that has primary possession of that child. What I'm saying is, under a JMC, this court needs to define what is meant by the term custody. Is it a title only, or is it the substance of the powers? The UCCJA speaks in terms of custody. The rest of the family code doesn't address custody per se. It addresses conservatorships. The question then is, under UCCJA, is custody, does it include the powers, the key primary powers that traditionally define what is meant in American jurisprudence as custody? If it does, the court does not have jurisdiction. It transfers with the child under the homestead designation. Is the power to designate the residence of the child of such a character and nature that it constitutes custody? Because it is undisputed that under this JMC and this fact, that if the father receives that power, he will transfer the domicile residence to Texas, which means that either mom has to move back to Texas or dad has custody.
Okay, you're using the word custody, and I'm looking at section 155.003.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Section 155.003, the relevant statutory provision.
Sure.
Here. You're using the word custody, and I'm looking at section 155.003, and I don't see the word custody in there. What it says is that the court may not exercise jurisdiction to modify managing conservatorship, which is something that was not sought here. There was no modification of MC status. and the court may not exercise continuing jurisdiction to modify, well, the Part C doesn't come into play because of the other two subparts. It's only Part B. It was a battle between Part B and Part A of 155003. And 155003 comes into play only to modify managing conservatorship. And that is not, per se, a custody issue.
Judge Abbott, I would respectfully disagree. That's exactly what he's seeking to modify, is the joint managing conservatorship. Not change the title names, but substantively change the meaning of the joint managing conservatorship that is in existence. Not change the title names, but in fact change where the child lives, who has day-to-day control over the child, all the things that are traditionally custody.
So then going back to my earlier point, you are equating under a JMC status a change of residence of a child, you're equating that to be a modification of managing conservatorship.
Yes. Not just that, but he's seeking modification of all three of the main powers. Power to designate where the child lives, primary possession, and right to receive and give receipt for child support. Those three were the subject of the motion to modify in question.
Okay, but you agree that with regard to child support, unequivocally, that's within the continuing jurisdiction?
The amount, yes. But the power to receive and give receipt for, no. The dollar amount of child support, when it's paid, where it's paid, all of those, retroactive, motion to enforce, all of those, I agree, are child support issues. A custody issue is who gets it and who gives receipt for it.
If that's the case, define for me the parameters of possession in 155003A, where possession, that issue allows or falls within the continuing jurisdiction of the original court.
What falls within, as I understand the law to be, what falls within the continuing jurisdiction of the C, of the court under the UCCJA, when it comes into play, are when and where visitation takes place, how much that visitation is, and with whom that visitation occurs.
Okay, but that's nowhere to be found in section 155003A.
But that is within the UCCJA, which comes into play and works in conjunction with 155.003. And under that also, the PKPA.
Okay, and the provision I'm talking about, 155003A, it talks about possession of and access to the child. What's the difference between possession of and access to the child?
Possession is the present right to possess, to have physical possession of the child, so physical control of the child under a surrender. Access involves the power of the court to order mom or dad, whoever has possession, to surrender to that particular person.
And wasn't Mr. Is it Bieber?
Yes, ma'am.
Wasn't he seeking the right to possess the child?
He was seeking, yes. He was seeking possession of the child.
And that seems to fall within your definition of what possession means under 155003A, which would mean it would fall within the continuing jurisdiction of the Texas court.
Yes, under, as you present it, yes. In fact, he's seeking more than just mere possession. But in addition to things he is seeking, he is also seeking possession.
In a joint managing conservatorship, who takes the tax deduction for the child?
That's governed under the Internal Revenue Service, or it can be adjusted by agreement, Your Honor. Under the tax code, the party who has primary possession of the child for at least half the year, I understand, takes the tax deduction. That's governed under the Internal Revenue Service. It can be agreed by the parties, although not ordered by the court because of the Superior Court of the federal statutes, Superior Jurisdiction of federal statutes. The parties can execute under the Internal Revenue Service a code granting it to one party or the other, either on an annual basis or on a permanent basis.
And did that happen in this case?
I don't believe it did. If so, it would have been, no, it has not, Your Honor. It would have been at the time of the original divorce, I believe.
Was the original order in this case the result of an agreement between the parties, or was it the result of a jury trial?
The original divorce, Your Honor, was by agreement, as was the modification that permitted the move to Colorado.
And as well as originally giving the mother primary possession and the right to designate residence, that was by agreement as well?
Yes, Your Honor, it was.
And then I think you said that then she moved to Colorado with the child with the father's agreement.
Yes, Your Honor, that was the purpose of the motion to modify to remove the residency restriction. And that was the outcome, and the purpose was to move to Colorado. I believe my time is up.
Any other questions? Thank you, Counsel. The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Logan Foster will present argument for the respondent.
Please, the court. I thought that there was two questions that I had to address by the brief, and the first one I thought was whether or not this court even had jurisdiction under 152.003. I don't believe that there's any question about that because Little versus Daggett, I thought, left that completely resolved, and I thought that some of the cases that followed that left it completely resolved, and I believe that those cases like Welburn Hausler, which I didn't cite very well in my brief, 870 Southwest 2nd, 323, was authority for the proposition that Texas does maintain jurisdiction to modify all other aspects of the decree other than custody, as well as does Oliver v. Boutwell, 601 Southwest 2nd, 1980, which wasn't cited, but it is proposition, I would say, for remaining everything except custody.
How does Texas law define custody?
I don't think they define custody.
Well, what meaning should this court give to custody then, since that term is used in the Texas Family Code?
Well, I'm not sure that custody is used.
152.003D talks about a party with custody and whether or not a court may not exercise its continuing jurisdiction to modify custody. What does custody then mean under that provision of the family?
152.003?
Yes.
I believe that what they've said, they used the definition that they used in that same one, and I believe if you look at that, it defined custody as is the managing conservatorship of the child.
Where is that
it's definition? It's a definition. I can find it right quick. 15.003. Let's see. 52.003. I think it's in the same in the uniform. Definitions. Custody means managing conservatorship of a child.
I'm sorry,
Family Code Section 152.002, which is under the Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction Act. In fact, that's the only place they really define that term. However, the courts have later pretty well said that those definitions, particularly in Hutchinson versus Byer, which I've cited, and Welb and Hausler, that they use those definitions throughout. However, it's just in that. That's what custody, I believe, means in the family code if it's there.
Did Mr. Beaver seek to change custody in this case?
No. No. We knew we couldn't do that. We weren't changing man in conservatorship. All we wanted to do was to be able, and we had, that was just an issue that would have to be litigated, but we were only asking that residence be returned to him in Texas and that he has the right to establish his domicile.
That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? It's not a mere something, is it?
No, well, I don't think any issue is a mere something. If it was here in Texas, it's not a mere something, but anytime you want to change that, obviously that's a big deal. But you know, I think you got to look at the history of this family code that led up to this, because if you accept this argument, what I see is we're going back 10 years to where we started in this.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean the 1979 was the first time we had the concept of managing conservatorship. Then in 1987, they granted the court the authority to do a JMC. 1987, they did a parental preference was abolished. It's no longer the preference for a mother. In 1995, they gave a presumption of JMC. Then there was a best interest to designate the primary physical resident. And then they come along with a public policy as to ensure that children have frequent and continuing contact, 153.01, encourage the parents to share in the rights and duties of their children. There's a history of all these cases that you run up to, like if you just thumb through the...
Your client agreed to let this child move to Colorado.
I think that was an agreement. That's true, but just
looking generally, though, at this, if in fact you have a circumstance like this where one parent has the right to designate the residence of the child and has primary possession, as this parent does, and that parent, with the agreement of the other parent, moves the child to another state.
Right.
If an interest develops about trying to move primary possession and move the residence of the child, why isn't it best for the child, for the state where that child lives, to deal with that issue? Why isn't that good public policy under those circumstances?
Well, I don't think it's good. First of all, public policy, I think the decision of the 14th, as far as public policy for Texas citizens, who they all live here, was good.
But let's talk about the scenario that we've got
okay,
here,
where we have
the parent with the child going to another state,
right,
with the Texas parent's consent, and that child has been there now for a while. Why isn't it good public policy if the issue of primary possession and residence of the child, things have changed, someone needs to look at it, why isn't it better public policy for that state to deal with what's in the best interest of the child, since that child lives there now?
Well, there are issues that obviously there would be teachers and churches and things like that.
I mean, how's the court in Texas going to deal with all that if, in fact, all the people who are involved in the child's life on a day-to-day basis are in Colorado?
Well, first of all, I don't think you're going to see as many cases like this that are this situation. And second of all, you have to look at the other side of the story, is that he is a parent. He is a joint managing conservator. He has all the powers of a parent. He never gave that up, and he never intended to give that up.
I'm focusing on the child right now.
Right.
Why isn't it good public policy under these circumstances for Colorado to decide these questions?
Okay, in this specific one, but I would say that if you look at the overall, judges don't have to give access 50-50. Or standard possession.
Well,
that's a minute.
But going back to my question,
okay,
why isn't it good public policy under these circumstances for Colorado to be deciding these issues?
Well, I don't. I think that the Texas father should still have his rights, and he has the children during the summer. He has them on the holidays. He has witnesses down there. He has witnesses that were lifetime people that they know that would testify. He would have to take all of these up there. I guess it's a way, if you're talking just pure public policy, but I don't think I think the public policy really outweighs that issue because of the fact that we're talking about legally, one is that that's not a change. You know, maybe they need to change the law or something like that, but we would go backwards, I think.
Do you agree that if we look at 152.003, if we look at this statute, we continue to see the legislature emphasizing what the child's home state is? Would you agree that that's an important consideration?
I think that's the law, and I think they...
Doesn't that indicate some intent on the part of the legislature that should be the designating factor in terms of a lot of the questions about what we do with the child after they've moved?
Well, I think that it deals with only one aspect, and that's custody, and I believe the legislature said intended that would have... They've used that term pretty well, and if they'd intended to define it as custody and business, but they didn't. They said managing conservatorship.
Mr. Lemkill has given us how he would interpret the statute.
Right.
He's walked us through it. Will you do the same thing from your perspective on how you would have us interpret the statute?
Well, I would interpret it as most of the courts of appeal have, and that's, I guess, why we're here. It hadn't been decided. And there's so much authority that's there, and I don't think there's much authority that would indicate that it's anything other than a power and the powers and rights of a parent. Managing conservators are supposed to be on equal basis. Dennis Smith states that case out of Houston. Both parents have custody and legally shared responsibility, and neither had visitation rights. Gave father the right to select domicile and the school and the primary possession in that case. Gave her primary, and he got to do that. Says, just as there is no longer a presumption that the mother should raise a child, there is no presumption that the conservator with the long period of possession should decide where a child lives.
Mr. Foster, look at the family code and tell us which provision of the family code gave the trial court in this instance continuing jurisdiction.
Well, I guess that'd be 155.03.
Which subpart?
Well, okay. 155, exercise of continuing jurisdiction. I think it clearly does. B, the court of this state may not exercise its continuing exclusive jurisdiction to modify conservatorship, period. We're not doing that. Managing conservatorship, they're joint, they're the same, they're both.
Well, but which provision in fact confirms that the court had jurisdiction in this case?
Oh, well, they had jurisdiction. They had continuing jurisdiction. There was a divorce in Fort Bend County. There was also the modification. So they had continuing jurisdiction.
Under which provision of the family code?
Under the continuing exclusive jurisdiction, 155.01, acquiring continuing exclusive jurisdiction, says that...
Can I short-circuit this?
Yeah.
Have you look at section 155.003A?
That's what I was getting ready to read.
Okay.
Except as otherwise provided this section, the court acquires continuing exclusive jurisdiction over the matters provided for by the set out in connection with the child on the rendition of a final order. So they've got it. There was one case that distinguished some of this, and basically what it said was that it was an ex parte Powell that cited this Bieber case, and it distinguished that because in that case the court never did have continuing jurisdiction. They never did have continuing jurisdiction. So I think under the law and the facts of the case that certainly we're not changing managing conservatorship. Look at the definitions. You look at all of the things that managing conservators are and all of the things that they've, that the history of it, public policy behind what it is. You look at the facts that the court has to specify the rights and duties of the parties. That's 153.071.
Mr. Foster, sorry to interrupt you there, but let me you seem to place great weight on managing conservatorship being different than a possessory conservatorship under the statute.
Yes,
in fact, the argument, I suppose, is that managing conservatorship and possessory conservatorship and custody are all terms of art. They're defined in the statute.
I believe managing conservatorship and possessory conservatorship and joint managing conservatorship are words of art defined by the legislature.
Okay, and none of these provisions, does 152.03D or 155.03 refer to joint managing conservator at all, do they?
Well, they refer to conservator, and I believe that the definition of a joint managing conservator
As a matter of fact, they don't. B refers to a managing conservator, and C refers to a possessory conservator, but no provision refers to a joint managing conservator. I mean, could it just as logically be read that the statute is silent as to what happens with continuing jurisdiction if you're dealing with joint managing conservatorship?
Well, I think the history wouldn't support that particularly.
If that's the case, then don't we have to look at the nature of the joint managing conservatorship to determine who's the managing conservator for purposes of continuing jurisdiction and who's the possessory conservator for purposes of jurisdiction?
No, because I think neither are of those. There is no possessory conservator. They are parent joint managing conservators. They have the rights and powers that are designated by the court, and the legislature said is we have a sole managing conservator, we have possessory conservators, and we now, and starting in 1987, the judge can appoint both parties conservators.
I'd like to ask some questions, see whether you agree or disagree. Sole managing conservator, as I understand it, means that parent is, if designated, that term of art has, quote, all of the powers of control of that child, and that child lives with that sole managing conservator, and the possessing conservator has rights of visitation. Is that a correct characterization?
I believe that's true. They have the powers of the parent.
But now under the JMC, both parents are accorded all the same powers. But the child has to live somewhere with one or the other. Would you agree with that?
Not really.
What's primary possession for?
Well, they're both appointed parent joint managing conservators. There's a number of powers that are sole managing, right to establish a residence, the right to educational decisions, medical decisions, all of the things that parents have the right, God-given rights, to do for their children. And they're not taking that away from parents nowadays, and I think that's the theory, is that when we get a divorce, we're going to try to not involve them in this. And the powers, and the judge will allot those powers, if he appoints a joint managing conservator, he will allot those powers equally or some way.
Or in this case, they were equal?
No. Well, they were joint managing conservators. I think he allotted the primary residence and the right to establish domicile to her and may have.
And your viewpoint is that is or is not attributes of what we used to call in the old days custody?
I think, not really, because of the changing concepts and the custody used to be win or lose. You've got the kids.
I understand that. That's what I'm trying to understand from you.
Right.
Primary possession and right to designate the resident can be, or you can argue, are attributes of what we used to call custody in the old days before the theory and the public policy of joint managing conservatorship came into force.
I would agree with that. I think maybe like compared apples to oranges today because of the fact that now old days custody. I want custody. I get the kids and you get some kind of visitation or something. I think we've come a long way from that situation where we don't take, these are powers and privileges. I don't think they have anything to do with the the conservatorship issue. I think they're joint managing, they're both parents, they're going to get to sharing these children. I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of this coming up because of the fact that the courts are taking a close look at letting people go from another state. It's just not going to happen. Dallas has got a policy that they said that Dallas, I just don't think that's going to happen. But
to get back to some questions, thank you for that. If the public policy is to look to the best interest of the child, and that's why we have joint managing conservatorship, so that each parent has equal say over the traditional things that you do with your child. But would you agree that the recognition of primary possession and designation of residence is an issue that involves the best interest of the child?
I agree with that, along with all the other powers like educational decisions and things like that. However, before you can change or you can modify, that's the first thing you look at. Is it in the best interest of the child? So I think that the fact that, yes, all of these are powers of the parent. Nowadays, we don't have to win or lose custody. We can say you're both parents. You have these. You can have these rights, or you can share these rights. And you don't have to do it 50-50. You can do it however. It could be half one here and half there.
Is it a correct conclusion that if Mr. Beaver was successful in his motion, the child would move back from Colorado to Texas? And then he would have the authority to have primary possession and to designate the child's residence.
If he prevailed on the modification and he prevailed that it was the best interest of the child, that would be just exactly what happened back when they got the divorce. That's a right that courts allow modification in these cases to change the circumstances, because we all know that children over the years, there's changing conditions. Things change. Parents are not taking care of children. All of these things. So,
Mr. Foster,
yes,
your position is that having the ability for changing who has primary possession and who can designate domicile does not constitute a modification of managing conservatorship. Is that your position?
I think that's just really clear in the law. Yes.
What would be examples where you would be modifying managing conservatorship, other than simply changing the title, a designation? Give me some examples where you have a modification of managing conservatorship.
Good example, may not in this case, but a good example is sole managing conservator where a parent has been abusive, where they want to limit the access, or they want to, if they win sole managing conservator, they'll get all those powers automatically unless the court doesn't do that. But there's a presumption now that it should be joint managing conservator. That's by law. There's a presumption that it should be. I don't think you're going to see a lot of these cases litigated as much because of the joint managing conservator. Parents can walk off and say,
is there any kind of modification to managing conservatorship short of changing it to sole managing conservatorship?
I know of nothing other than there's only three positions: is sole managing, joint managing, and possessor conservator. And there's a presumption that it be a parent, and that'd be a parent.
Let me get you to focus specifically on 155.003B.
155.003B. Okay.
Modify managing conservatorship. It doesn't say joint or sole or possessory. Are you saying that word modify managing conservatorship only means changing between the three? Nothing else constitutes a modification?
I think modification of managing, if I'm a sole managing conservator and this one is a possessory, I think that could be a
change. Let's say you're joint. The only way you can modify a joint managing conservatorship is to change it to some other kind of
sole managing. and in possessory conservatorship. If there's a sole managing conservator, then the parent, other parent, unless there's some good reason, is going to be a possessory conservator, and they get standard access. A joint managing conservator doesn't do that. They get a minimum standard, and it doesn't have to be 50-50. So there's only three things a judge or people can agree to, and with the presumption now that...
If you want to change the time of possession as between managing, joint managing conservators, is that a modification of the managing conservatorship?
I misunderstood that, yes. You can come in besides changing conservatorship. There's a lot of things you can do. You can come in and say, hey, I don't like what you're sending those kids to private school. I think they ought to go to, and I ought to get that right.
Is that a modification?
That's a modification. Okay. And there has to be there's rules about modifying. You can't just walk in and modify. And each one, if you go on a visit, you can modify a visitation whether it's joint or whether it's sole.
If that is a modification, why wouldn't changing the domicile be a modification or primary possession be a modification?
Because that isn't visitation or possession. That is a power and a right of a parent. That's the legislature, I think, in their wisdom, and probably because of social change and all kind of reasons, to try to keep people together and be parents. That's what they did.
But if a parent under a joint managing conservatorship has the right to possession of the child, if the other parent comes into court and wants to change that right of possession to him or herself, is that a modification of a managing conservatorship under 155.003B?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because
aren't you modifying the conservatorship because you're modifying some of the terms of it?
Well, to me, conservatorship, joint or sole or possessory, is clearly defined. The power to the right to establish domicile and primary possession are rights and powers of a parent. There's a standard possession order. All of those have to do with possession and access. You can modify a joint managing conservatorship other ways besides what we were hoping to do. We can ask for some educational rights, medical rights, all kinds of things. But those are modifications of possession or access.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Judge Abbott, Justice Abbott, I'm sorry. You questioned me at some length on 155.002, and what I would like to clarify about the position of my client is that although 155.002 speaks in terms of continuing jurisdiction of the court, that the UCCJA operates as a limit or a harness on that continuing jurisdiction. The two must work hand in hand. I would also encourage the court to look at the express intent and purpose of the UCCJA, specifically 152.001A3. I think that addresses a lot of the specific concerns that Justice Hankins expressed or questioned about. I would also encourage this court to examine both Oliver versus Botwell at 601 Southwest 2nd 393 and Ramsey versus Ramsey 707 Southwest 2nd 724, which both hold for the concept that should the Court of Appeals be correct and all these elements be within the rubric of visitation, a modification of visitation can be so extreme as to affect a change in custody. For example, the jury comes back and awards primary possession, which is a jury question, to mom. The court, having the discretion in its own seat, as to visitation says, okay, dad gets 360 days of visitation, but mom, you won the jury trial, you get 5. Such an extreme modification of visitation is in fact a custody modification. I would also charge to the court Lithold versus Plass, which is a Texas Supreme Court case cited by opposing counsel in his brief. It is a 1967 case, but in my opinion, it very artfully examines what is meant in Texas by the concept of custody. It does predate the statute, as they confess, and I would agree. But the argument and the reasoning is still sound today as it was in 1967. I would also point out to the court, as opposing counsel pointed out to me, Wilkinson versus Wilkinson, as cited in his brief, has been withdrawn. And we all need to know that. That concludes my rebuttal, unless there's any questions.
No questions. Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
That concludes the argument in the second call. The court will take